This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Going to be a busy last couple of hours. We're about to hear from the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, and the Collective for their pre-draft press conference. And I think it's a go right here on 105 Through the Fan.
David Moore, Dallas Morning News. This question's for Jerry and Steven. With the free agent attrition you've had this offseason and the gap you currently have between your third pick before you're on the clock again, does that place even more of a premium on needing an immediate return on your first three picks in this draft, more so than usual in most drafts?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think, in general, you know, if you look at attrition, if you talk about probably where it hits us the hardest is, the guys we lost, obviously, in the offensive line. We've had that happen before with Connor Williams and Connor McGovern. You know, these are guys that we picked, and then you plug them in, and they play, and then they get awarded a great contract. Unfortunately, you can't, you know, have more than one, you know, a couple offensive linemen that make a lot of money on your offensive line, and you certainly, you know, want those young guys coming. So whether it's the three guys we've picked the last three drafts, Ball and certainly Awesome Richards and Waletzko, TJ Bass, all those guys are, you know, it's time for them to step up. Obviously, TJ played a lot last year, and we really liked what we saw there. You move on to Dorrance Armstrong. You have Sam Williams, who's certainly shown a lot. And certainly been frustrated with his play time on – frustrated is probably not a fair word, but would like to play more. And we think a lot of him, and he needs to step up. And then, of course, the running back situation is one, you know, that we're continue to address. And obviously we'll look at it in the draft, but also looking at, Pollard in terms of replacing, losing him. We've got to work through that. But those are all things – that require young people to step up. And we've had a good track record. As I mentioned, Connor Williams, Connor McGovern stepping up. Obviously, Tolbert, it took him a year, but stepped up and played really well. And I think he'll take it to another level this year. Certainly Mike can speak to that.
And I'll also add to that, candidly, without any way being defensive, we're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster, very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute, we're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. And I do principally because of what Steven said, we will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left and are off the roster, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. And so we do feel good about these guys coming in. Is it ambiguous? Of course it is. It's ambiguous if you had a veteran out there. He could get hurt in training camp and you not have him again. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting. But to answer your question, I think I'm answering it. But the question is, in my mind, about all of this, how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming on. And we're all in with this draft, and we're all in with knowing that you have to go. You can't have we've had adjustments. We talk about – I saw some criticism someplace about Zeke and about paying Zeke. Do I need a raise of hands in this room of everybody that thought Zeke should be on this football team when he had him, when he was holding out? But we had to adjust the contract, which took away from money that could have gone to Tyron. We had to adjust that contract and give it to Zeke, which Zeke deserves it because we all thought Zeke was going to be the main ingredient for our success over the ensuing years. since that time, this cap thing has really become even more, not just for the Cowboys, but for the league. And, of course, you've seen a little diminished or not interest, but diminished emphasis in the cap in the running back area. And what diminishes it is availability. Availability because there are others that can carry the ball better than others that maybe be able to block at left tackle or those type things. So, again, without sounding defensive at all, the youth, the young guys coming in here and playing are incrementally viable. We're counting on them. And we've had that happen for us, and we've counted on it.
That being said, because there wasn't a lot of action in free agency, I know you feel good about your guys, there's more excitement of going into this draft because this is your next chance to improve the roster from last year.
Well, I know that I don't know when I've ever been in a draft that I didn't feel like the players we were drafting are going to be on the field for us and making significant contribution. I don't know that I've ever felt that. But today, you have to have rookies contribute or you aren't getting the value that you need to have. These are your lesser paid as far as the other relative to veterans. They're going to the good ones are going to get paid to have other days of more pay. But that's got to meld in with the overall management or it doesn't work. Because you've got 10 players getting 70% of the money. So you've got to have youth and you've got to have those players that fill in there, and how you fill it in is going to be the difference in the future, and frankly probably has been if you look at it across the league.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for these young people, whether it's the draft, coming in here without having – you know, which we've done at times in the past when we obviously brought in a Cooks and you bring in a Gilmore. You know, it makes it hard for some of these guys to come in and play and beat those guys out. Obviously, there's going to be some opportunities. And, you know, we do have some guys who didn't play for us last year. An Overshone, a John Stevens, who was on his way to making this team before he tore his ACL. You know, you have a Diggs who you didn't get to play. You know, you didn't see – played but a couple of games last year, so we're going to have him back. So, you know, there's a lot of different moving parts that we didn't have that were a part of this team in addition to the draft. And, of course, when we make these draft picks, they're going to have great opportunities to step in here and play. And, you know, you need to have that happen to complement what you already have on what we feel is a really strong roster.
Stephen, Jerry, Todd Archer with ESPN. Track record of first-round success with offensive linemen since Tyron, Travis Frederick, Zach, and Tyler Smith. What have you guys been able to, quote, figure out, if you have, about offensive line play and getting a quality guy to come in and be ready to go immediately?
Well, I'll start. It's great to be drafting a position when there's a lot of them, quantity. If you're where we are, of course, at the 24th pick. But my point is, if you can go in and it happens to fit need and there is a long numbers of them in the draft, that's fortuitous. That's a good thing to have happen. So that's very good. Secondly, for me, I was an offensive lineman. They're always the smartest, the best looking, and they're the ones that end up owning the teams. And so it's fun to be able to pick a good offensive lineman.
Well, I think the communication, too, is outstanding between our scouting staff and Mike and his staff, Will and his staff, in terms of really getting on the page as to what we want in a Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman. And you know, there's guys up there that some people have higher than others. Everybody's got an opinion and certainly a feel for what would fit with their group. And I just think we do a great job of going through, you know, all these guys and really communicating back and forth. You know, as Jerry and I sit there and, you know, ask questions and get input as to, you know, what would be the difference. I mean, obviously when we drafted Tyron Smith, you had a Salder out there, you had – Costanzo and guys like that who, you know, everybody had rated different. Turned out it looks like, you know, between the communication that we had between our personnel department and our coaching staff, we were able to get what we feel like was the best guy out of those three. And we liked all three, but we liked Tyron better. So I think that's an important part of this. We want to draft a Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman that fits in the room with a Zach Martin, with a Tyler Smith, with a Terrence Steele. You want that guy that you pick to be a guy who's going to go in that room and be accretive to what we're trying to get accomplished there. And I think I think we've had great work put into this process. And as Jerry said, it's certainly fortuitous when you look up and probably one of the deeper positions on this draft, I think unanimously, is the offensive line position.
One of the advantages that I have is that seriously, sitting right next to me within foot kicking distance is our head coach, Mike. And I don't have anybody that I respect anymore about evaluating an offensive lineman, or for that matter, how important that is to this team this year. So I couldn't have anybody that I'm lining up even more. Got Will sitting about where Clarence, you're sitting, about far as across the room. Got Steven sitting here. And so we got a good hold on this thing right here. And Mike, I'm not running the show here, but seriously, like for you to talk about offensive lineman, because I know you're going to be kicking him. He wore me out last year on an offensive lineman that we ended up not taking. So, but still, it's good, good feeling. He's got a great feel for what we need to be doing in the offensive line.
Well, I love the way this press conference is going. So don't feel obligated to have me talk. But no, we have an excellent process, really. I mean, just the involvement of a coaching staff in the draft process is, and I've spoken on this before, it's the most I've ever been around. So, and I just think, you know, the history of how the Cowboys, you know, through Jerry, Steven, and Will assess value to a player, and everybody has input. It serves us very well.
Mike, how important is the interior protection for a quarterback compared to the tackles in your mind?
I think it's very important, but I think if you just don't go too far, and I'm talking about our division games. You know, I think the defensive tackle play in our division is as strong as I've ever seen, and in my history in the league. If you don't have four or five number one picks on your defensive line, you're behind the times. So I think pass rush is at a premium. So it's definitely something that, you know, we put a premium on, not only who we have protecting in there, but how we do it.
John
Machado with The Athletic. Jerry, what's your message to the fan base who's frustrated that you guys haven't done a lot in free agency, that you guys haven't gotten contract extensions done with the key three guys that you want to? What do you say to them? Because you obviously said that you're all in and that you're confident in this roster. What is your message to them?
Well, you can understand there is I didn't just understand where we are with our cap at the Senior Bowl. That's something we live with and know, like I would understand everything financially around here. And so I think our structure and our involvement at every level that we are in our process of getting personnel is ideal for making good decisions. I know what it's like to make a mistake because I'm going to be living with it 10 years from now. I'm not just in here for a five-year session at GM and then gone. So I know what it's like to have to live with how you're doing. That bears on it. With that in mind, I compare this to college and scholarships. And if you had in college a system that allowed you to get better players, if you'd give that one five scholarships, let's say you were limited to 30, but you had the ability to get the better players by giving five scholarships to that player. Well, you'd know that when you gave them the five, that was going to limit you. You weren't going to be able to have 30. You were only going to be able to have 26 on your team because you've given away five just to get one guy. That's the system that has really made the NFL the game that it is today, because it has created such parity, or such opportunity for parity. And it works. It absolutely works. There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time, because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24. And so that's what we're doing. What that does is effectively create the competition in the game that we have right now. It's called a salary cap. It is not a lack of money under the premise. It's not that at all. It's a part of the rules, just like you can't be offsides, or you can't hit a guy when he's already on the ground, or you can't use your hands at the wrong time on the defensive secondary. Part of the rules of this game is to have a salary cap. And that salary cap means that if you pay Martin more money one year, you're going to have less to pay the next year. That's just part of it that goes. And that's what you see. Now, I don't mean to be talking elementary at all, and I'm not. It's just that we know that rule is there and have known it ever since we've been in the salary cap business, that that comes. And so it's no mistaking. Sometimes you look at your account and you're loaded with money in there that day. But you know you've incurred bills that has three times the bills that you have money in your account, but that day it looks like you got a lot of money. Well, you've got to be disciplined about spending what's in your account if you know you got all these bills out here. That again is what we're talking about. Now, don't interrupt me.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm teasing him. Go.
No, the thing I would say, too, is the elephant in the room is our playoff success. And we could win an off season like we did last year and get an A. Boy, you went and got Cooks. You went and got Gilmore. You signed some veteran players, and, boy, you won the off season. But guess what? We didn't get it done in the playoffs. So until we do that, you could say, well, you signed two or three, or made two or three trades, or two or three free agents. You know, until we have the success in the playoffs, that's the biggest question that everybody, you know, is going to ask is, you know, how are you going to get over that hurdle? And we feel like we can do it with this roster. I know Mike feels strongly about our team and what we can get done with it. I don't want to speak for Mike, but, you know, that's the elephant in the room. And, you know, we just feel strongly that because we have had success in the drafts, I think it's pretty well documented, if you have success in the drafts, then you want to keep those players. And so our priorities have been historically, because we've had success in the draft, is to then pay your own. And I know during free agency, because, boy, free agency, that's the focus, then everybody wants to see activity during free agency. Now, when you're talking about big contracts like a Dak, like a CD, like a Micah, those things don't happen overnight. I mean, those things take time. Obviously, there's timing based on what other teams are doing with their players at that position. So there's a lot of moving parts, and certainly you want to get it right. You know, as we mentioned, there's some contracts that you look up and you didn't get right. I mean, that happens to all 32. You make some bets, and because you're dealing with human beings, you're dealing with injury, you're dealing with all the things that go on, sometimes those contracts don't pan out for you. But when you're paying the type of money, you know, we ultimately will would have to keep them to a Dak, to a Mike, or a CD, you want to make sure you get it right.
The other thing is that you do understand when you have been operating on the credit card. And there's no question we've been operating on the credit card. That's how we've had Dak Prescott plus this great supporting cast around him for the last 3 or 4 years. You can't keep that if, in fact, all of a sudden the system causes that to go up. Then you've got to start depreciating down. So if you decide to have a key player and you pay him to that extent, then he's going to have less supporting cast around him. Look around. That's the way it works. That's the way it's been working in the NFL. To wake, the sin would be to wake up after a Green Bay and say, oh my goodness, what have we got here? Our fans may not have been attuned to this, and even you in this room, to some degree, might not have been attuned to it. Boy, we've been attuned to it. And so we have known that you were going to basically have to have less in order to have some of the players that we want to have at the prices they are. You got to have less supporting cast. There's no getting around it. Where does it come from? It comes from really the draft, young players. It comes from playing players. That puts a big load on this guy's shoulder out of, over here. It comes from not the highest priced free agents. That's where it comes from. And when you are in that spot, your sins catch up with you at that time. So the guys you hit on, the guys show up, and the guys you paid that didn't hit on, they show up. By the same token, sometimes some great things happen to you. You get a Micah Parsons. Well, Micah Parsons is going to take some cap to have Micah. And so does CD. All of that, I wouldn't trade getting to do this for any job in the world and getting to be here sitting here explaining to you what we're doing. So this isn't the world's smallest violin sitting up here complaining or talking for our fans. I just want to try to be good enough to work through this and us have a winning season, which we got a chance to have.
Hopkins, Dallas Morning News. This is for Jerry and Steven. When did you guys fully embrace this philosophy of draft and develop? Because you guys have signed big-time free agents in the past before.
So embrace draft and develop when you draft well. I mean, that's you start to embrace it when you have the success, you know, that we've had as an organization. The coaches that have been doing the developing, that play them, that have the confidence to play these players right away, and then you develop them and they have success. I mean, we hadn't brought him up, but Diggs is paid. He's one of the top corners in the league, and he's a guy that we picked and Mike and his staff developed. A Terrence Steele was a college free agent from Texas Tech. Part of the draft process, you know, our philosophy on going out and getting our top priority free agents, but when you have success, you embrace that in terms of the type of players that you're, you know, that you're getting your hands on. The flip side of that is we've had some success, you know, looking for the right veterans to bring in. Bring in a Malik Hooker, who we really liked in the draft. And now he's become a foundational type player for us back there at safety. And, you know, he was a top 15, top 12 player on our board. That's why we brought him in here. We had patience with his injury issues, and he's turned into one of our better players on the roster. We think those things can happen. You just have to keep grinding, keep looking for the right players to bring in here that give you some opportunity to bring some guys along in a system we have. We think Zim's going to do a great job with these players. Hats off to Dan. He had a great run here, but I think Zim's going to bring an edge. It was something Mike wanted in terms of bringing Zim in. He thought we needed that edge there, and I think he's going to bring that to this defense and bring some guys along that I think will really help us out in terms of where we came up a little short, stopping the run, that type of deal, in our big games and the playoff game.
We have embraced running out of cap room, mm-hmm. just as we embraced using it when we had it. So you embrace a lot about where you are. Now, the mistake would be not to be looking around the corner ahead and understanding 2 and 3 years out where you're going to be. But you ask use the word embrace. You embrace it when you've recognized that you've spent 4 scholarships on that player, he's gone. And you borrowed it out of this year, and so you only have 25 scholarships to work with. That'll cause you to embrace it right there. And that dictates timing, but I don't want to imply that it's just all of a sudden wake up this morning and it's here. No, it's been known, and you plan it for quite some time. Everybody that's ever run a business really gets that. They get that. And so they plan ahead. They look around corners. You have to. You have to. Now, you've got some ambiguousness in what we do. It's called availability. Some of these guys you were counting on get hurt. Some of them have less longevity in their when they're playing in their age. Some of them, for instance, also it bears down to their talent level isn't what you might have expected. Those are all mistakes that we've made right and left, but we've hit on some too. And so all of that makes it, you gotta, as I've said a lot of times, you don't need to be doing this unless you got a high tolerance for ambiguity, which means you don't know what's right around the corner.
Jane.
Jane Slater, NFL Network. Trust me, I get budgeting. I've been working on it over the years. But my job is to explain to fans, friends, and family who don't understand when you've got these three free agents, particularly Dak. We've seen in the past, I don't think us covering this team were surprised that a deal hasn't gotten done, and typically they don't get done until training camp. But why not work on those deals earlier so that you have the flexibility to go get those veterans that have led to success in the last two postseasons?
Your problem is that you well, I'm answering your question, but you don't have many problems. I really, you're excellent. But the point is that you may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 in the morning sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn up field with it, and then he's still got a pitch left. So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem. That's working the problem. I've spent my life being an option quarterback, and I can go right out to the damn sideline and still leave a pitch in me. So I can do that, and that's just a style that you have. And so you never know. You might give money to somebody that you shouldn't have given it to. You got two or three of those names around here for me? I've been reading about them all week. So I know they're out there. I shouldn't have handed it off as quick. Should have gone on out and seen a few more. See some more defense before I either pitched it or kept it. So to say that you're not working on it and going is not the right answer. What they differ with you is your style. Because it's on your mind. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards played, candidly. If you got trouble with when the timing is around here, it's because I'm not ready to go.
And you don't worry about those numbers going up as a result of other teams paying some of these players at their positions?
I worry about you. If you're asking me, do I worry about things going up? Not worry, but I probably have as good a feel as anybody living on this earth what the cap is going to be 3 years from now and 4 years from now. 5 years from now. I really do. We've got exceptional insight into where the cap is going to be, more so than a lot of people.
Jane, I can assure you if we felt like we could get a number that was a good number, because unfortunately these, as we all know, representatives talk to each other. You don't think the representatives of Jefferson and CD and Chase aren't talking? And you don't think they got their eye on something really big? Please. I mean, they're not ready to come in here. Same thing with Micah and same thing with Dak. I mean, it's just, it's a little cat and mouse. Total respect for him.
Why not get ahead of that then if you know what some of those big numbers might be?
Well, you don't know what those big numbers might be. And as I said, if Jerry's gut feel was that was a good number, then you might would do it.
You're say get ahead of it as though you knew the answer. And one reason you're not doing it is you may not have the answer. You may really need to see if there's more cap room. You might need to see if you're going to get somebody else signed. Or you really right then might not even have the money under the cap, of course. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's timing. Timing is obviously as important as the principal amount. And sometimes timing keeps you from making a mistake. And that's not just football. That's not just the salary cap. That's any decisions that you've got to have some ambiguity up to a bright line. The bright line's when it's done or gets done. And of course, in all due respect, the players, coaches, commissioners, everybody's listening to their music too when you start talking about this thing called pay. Okay? Sponsors, we all look at those things. So it's not they should have done that last week because the price of tea in China went up. It's not the way you do it, frankly. Certainly not the way we do it, and I've seen criticism about that we wait too long to sign players or those kinds of things. Certainly can look back and say, if they had done it 5 years ago, then price of living was much down then. Okay, well, that might be the case, but we might have been waiting to see how a couple of players played and whether or not we want to keep them or not. Again, no decision is singularly based on that decision, just that scope, that person, that pay. Because of the nature of the cap, it affects everybody down the line. So that has a big bearing on it, too.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, a couple of questions first. A handful of picks that you guys are missing in the middle rounds. Is there more of an intrigue to potentially get on the phone and trade back if your guy's not there at 24?
Well, I'll say this, it's very likely to have an opportunity to do that. And given the right people left on the board, or the wrong people gone off the board, and the right trade, and what time of day it is, and if I'm in the room, I'm just kidding now. Okay, really, there's a lot of variables here as to whether you'd go up or down, and I'm not trying to be cute there. Obviously, we'd like to have some middle-round picks. But by the same token, Michael Parsons might be sitting there with that pick. Now, do you want to go for some more picks, or do you want to nail it?
Second question for Mike. In your evaluation of all the running backs in this draft, how confident do you think that there is a guy that you can bring in that could be a starter potential?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you look at these young players, you know, I deal in the realm of adding quality players at every position for the competition. I don't ever succumb from the, you know, obviously this has been an outstanding financial conversation you all have been having. But you know, my job is really, and what it's always been is, as a coach, you live your life on 6 month intervals, and it's really about improving the football team. And that's what this really comes down to. The most success I've had in this league as a head coach was the most injured football team I've ever coached. And then also lost three starters in the first half of the Super Bowl. So I'm about developing that whole 90-man roster. I hope we can get somebody, one of these running backs. It'd be great to add it to the room. But I don't believe in – you know, these draft picks are just absolutely starters. I don't succumb to an 11-man roster because it's not the reality of how this thing works. And I think the fact that we're in a 17-game schedule, it's even more exemplified in that. It's going to take them all to get to where we want to go to. I do know that for a fact. So I'm not just trying to avoid the question. So whether it's running back, offensive line, defensive lineman, corner, you know, we do a great job of putting a lot of time and putting value on all these players. It's our responsibility that when they come in here, that through system, instruction, draft and develop program that's in place, that they are the best they can be, because they're just a part of it. They're just a part of it, and that's the reality of all this. It's exciting. The question earlier, yeah, hell yeah. I mean, the draft is exciting, but once the draft's over, the reality is, okay, now what? Where does this young man fit? And then how we get them trained, and then when that rookie orientation goes on, how do you get those rookies to fill the gap between them and the veterans? That's every single year at this time. So this is exciting because we know we're going to be adding guys to our locker room. And but what's most exciting for me is what's been going on here, and this is day number 6 of our off-season program. I get to go to the meetings. You know, I get to watch these guys work out legally from my window because you're not allowed out there, but just so you know. So I get to see the development. I get to see where the real improvement's going to come. The real, most improvement of our football team will come from the 62 men that are already here working. And that's just the facts. And that's the way it's always been. So I hope to God there's a Micah Parsons or some impact player that comes in as a rookie and helps us. That would be a bonus. But at the end of the day, we're adding quality players that have value and they will contribute. And that's just always been my approach.
Sadius of The Athletic. Jerry, you just mentioned that, you know, you guys are always working on those deals and things like that. The other day, Dak said that real talks haven't even began. So how do you kind of, you know, interpret those comments and where do you, what do you think his perspective is on that?
Well, I first of all, respect how Dak handles his business, period, as much as any player I've ever been, any person that I've been associated with. So that's it. I think that we should realize that talks, quote, talks, don't necessarily is not a barometer of whether you're close to a deal at all. As a matter of fact, it might be one of the least barometers, because most agents get mad as hell if I talk to the player. So you don't even have talks if they had their way about it, if you see what I mean. And so my point is, it's a misnomer to think that talks are the total or the beginning of a time clock on talks has that much to do with signing a player. Those two aren't necessarily the same. Something that Mike pointed out that I think is very important is that the longer you're around the NFL and the more we see how our systems work, the more you realize that when you look at a player and you look at his, quote, not only his talent level but his cap count, you have to ask, has you rather have two players or would you rather have the one player for the same cap count? It's that directly involved. And so we recently had an outstanding, in my mind, free agent, and we didn't sign him. And we literally always pointed to three starter-type players for us that we had that we wouldn't have had we signed the player at generally the same positions. So this has to do with literally more making that share of the cap cover more players that could be on the field rather than just one. Plus, your risk is less because of injury. Your risk is less because of talent issue. So what we have is, as it should be, really, as it, the only way it can be. This is pro football, and it has to do with the allocation of your resources, which happens to be cap space. The draft pick is just one of three or four reason he's out there.
Mike also talked about, you know, catering to player strengths and stuff, but you also, of course, have a system that you run your offense. At what point in the offseason or calendar year do you kind of take a look at what you have and how you can adjust or tweak your system to fit the strengths of whatever your roster is that year?
I mean, that really starts after the season. That's really the month of February scheme evaluation as you go through and really getting ready for the players to come back here in mid-April. So, and that's what we're going through right now. Today was our sixth meeting with the players. And I've always felt that, you know, my responsibility as a head coach and particularly with the coordinators is, you know, we look at it as we have four playbooks and the ones, the game management and so forth. But our systems have to be able to accommodate the gifts of players that we're able to draft. I think you can get, if your idea of what a Dallas Cowboy looks like, if it gets too narrow, it doesn't really take advantage of the whole draft process. So I think when you look at that process, because in February and in March, we're really evaluating all the things we've done and how they fit our current players. And then as we're looking at the draft or even free agency, how do those guys fit? So, I mean, that's, to me, that's an annual process.
Michael.
Michael Gelkin, Dallas Morning News. Mike, you've coached a number of young teams in the past. This team coming up with the young players who are ascending into roles maintained by veterans seems to be younger than the one in the previous year. How does having a young team influence the way you teach, the way you install, the way you may tap into a certain moment with your messaging to the group or otherwise?
Well, it really is seamless because I've always catered all of our training to the youngest player because to me the youngest player is always the least educated, the least experienced player in the room. So everything we do once we come together, which started last week, is really catered to those young players. And I think the biggest thing is what you get from the veterans is their ability to give back. This is a great opportunity for our older players to say, okay, check. I got this. You know, we did it like this last year. We're going to adjust it this year. This is why they've probably have done been through the reason why you did it one way and maybe adjusted it another way. So that part has never been a challenge, and it's probably really goes back to the beginning of my head coaching career because, you know that's all I know is draft and develop. I mean, it's, you know, I lived in it at an extreme level. In the early days. So I'm something I'm very comfortable in, and that's where really the ability for the team to make its biggest gains will come from these young players that are here.
Skyler.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. Jerry, you mentioned Zeke and having to pay him in 2019, and last year when you all got a deal with Zach and got him in, you alluded to the motivation being, you know, we feel like we've got a Super Bowl roster and Zach needs to be here. Does CD fall into that category, do you think?
I think CD is one of the best players in the NFL. And so I think he's very incremental to because of his position to quarterback success, personally. I think he, if you look at complementary football, he does it all there for you. He's multifaceted in his, where we can line him up, the type of things we can use him for. He's dedicated in his practice and he's sound physically. And so that puts him really right there at the top as far as a player. So I'm trying to answer your question. I guess the answer is, without saying any more, I think he's one of the top players in the NFL.
Patrick.
A couple questions. First question is for all three of you guys, whichever one wants to chime in. You mentioned, Mike, about the importance and the value of the center position, obviously, as it relates to looking at left tackle. Going into this particular draft, obviously, offensive line could be viewed as a need for you guys, but you have the flexibility of Tyler Smith as well. So if you're on the clock and your top available tackle prospect is there versus your top available center prospect, how does the flexibility of Tyler Smith versus where you as a coach would like Tyler Smith to play, how does that go into the decision on who you pick?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you got to take the best player, you know, the best value. That's why we have the draft process. You know, Tyler's flexibility gives us, you know, something unique to have. The fact that he's started at both positions at such a young age is pretty special. But, you know, I look at these players, just say the offensive line room, you know, which player, regardless of the position, do they make the offensive line room better? And I have great confidence in our process that if we do select one high, that they'll make the offensive line room better, and then we'll figure it out. Because, you know, if we had to go play a game today, we'd be able to. You know, now where Tyler would line up would, you know, probably be at guard or maybe tackle. You know, how you like that answer? But so that's just the reality of where we are. And that's where, and I get the paper championships that are won in the spring, and, you know, and you try to fill up your roster. If you lose a Tony, you're supposed to replace it with another guy. That's just not the reality of how this thing works. So I just think we just need to just stay true to our board, and whoever we add in any of those position rooms, especially offensive line room, will make us better.
For Jerry and Stephen, both of you guys have spoken obviously favorably about Dak Prescott. Stephen, a few weeks ago, you said that you still see that there is improvement, that a ceiling that Dak hasn't hit yet, which is promising because it shows he has more room to grow. Jerry, when you were asked about potentially drafting a quarterback, you said, yeah, I'll quote, they could be the best thing since ice cream. Can kind of bet on the Cowboys not taking them in the first round. How do you guys balance knowing the value and knowing that you want Dak Prescott here for the future, also knowing that you gave up a fourth round pick to get Trey Lance in to develop, with potentially a scenario where a high-priority quarterback is staring you in the face?
I'll start it. We want Dak Prescott. So that's that. And there's no question that Mike's focus, not that he didn't have focus, but how he improved last year, and I give Mike a lot of the credit for it, that improvement demonstrated to me there's more as far as ultimately winning what we're trying to do here. So your question nails it for me. We want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth. He is absolutely unsurpassed as far as what he is as an individual, his work ethic, what he brings in the leadership, everything about what you would think about as quarterback. And so he's got that. He's had a few hits, but everybody else has too. And so then you get into the $64,000 question. And that is, with all of the risks that's involved and what have you, if you look around the league, the teams that have really made that big-time commitment, we have in light of where we have committed in the past. We have that to add to whatever we do with him. And so it's a double whammy. We've got a lot still from seasons past that we have to add to that, and so all of that presents a challenge. This wouldn't even have a response if we were in a different place relative to the cap. If you are a team that has a lot of cap room and then you have a quarterback for a little while that is well underneath in his rookie contract, San Francisco last year, us with Dak early, after we had Romo, and boy, we had a lot of credit card use there on Romo. Well, Dak came along, so we didn't have to have it, and so we were able to absorb that money and still keep talent around him. So Dak has enjoyed in his career that we're proud of, some of the best supporting cast that you could put around him. And to move forward, we're going to have to diminish that. That's a fact. That's the rules. And so that's our challenge, and to make it work out. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even blink on that one.
Last one.
That was one of the most surreal experiences that I've ever had up here at the station.
What makes you say that, Kevin?
I mean, there's many reasons, not the least of which is Jerry Jones saying, we have the 24th pick in the draft. Set that for a reason. We have the 24th pick because we're the 24th best team in the NFL. That was a thing that he actually said.
Can't confirm.
I mean, it, realistically, it would be what? The ninth best team? But he said the 24th best team. And the way they kicked it off by saying proud of the roster, promise of the team. We're going to have Steven on. I have questions, and he might be like, I didn't say that. That was Jerry. But that was amazing, man.
Yeah. How many draft questions did you get answered in that? Because that I thought it was the draft press conference, and it was mostly about how little they spent in free agency, what's going on with Dak, where CeeDee and Micah's bunnies create problems.
How many scholarships do we have?
And I felt like it was less about, like, hey, this is what we're interested in this draft. This is what we're trying to accomplish with this roster. And that's what I kind of wanted.
And I have a top hat on. Here's my three-ring circus. La, 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 la. It's hard to argue with. Like, I don't always like the way you say that, Mike, but it's hard to argue after that when they straight up come out and they're like, yeah, we're all in. And I'm proud of this roster and the promise of this team. It's mostly the same team we brought back last year that got they're destroyed in the playoffs to a historic portion. I don't know. All right, coming up next, it's either going to be the C block or we're going to talk with Steven Jones. One of those things will happen. Next, right here on The Fan.